because Jesus is your healer. God came Jesus came that we may have life, and he said, and have it more abundantly till it overflows. That ain't just physical life. We're talking about Jesus was a man of joy. Jesus was happy. A lot of times it ain't these pictures on the wall you see Jesus. Hey, boom, boom. Jesus was happy, man. He was out here like, he was happy. Man, he was healing people, delivering people, putting families and marriages back together, and destroying the works of evil. That's what he came for. So anybody wasn't here first of the year, last week? Anybody wasn't here last week? Because I kind of shared the theme that the Lord, he'll give me a vision for our church body for the year. And I shared a little clip of Kenneth Copeland, but we're not going to bring that back up. But Brother Kenneth Copeland, if you follow him, you know, he's a prophetic teacher. A lot of what the Lord gave me, it just brought confirmation. He said some of the same things that the Lord put in my heart. But our theme for this year, 2020, a year of clear vision. Habakkuk 2:2-4 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he that may run that reads it. For the vision," say vision, "is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." And then also 2 Peter 3:8-10, talking about this year of clear vision. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is one day." So this is here, this is where you got to watch, to where you don't, when it talks about waiting for something, patiently wait for it. When you have a vision, the Lord gives you something, wait for it, tarry for it, because to God, one day, 1,000 years is like a day to us. So remember, God, when he speaks 1,000 years out into the future. And when we say something, we're thinking, day. Man, I gave this Sunday. I thought I was supposed to get blessed yesterday, or tomorrow, you know, which we believe, but sometimes something, God's working on something. Now remember, when God blesses you, it can come through your enemies, in other words, those that don't have a relationship with God. But the most part, he's going to use people. He's going to use men to give back into your bosom. Men. God doesn't give us, he don't throw chunks of gold from heaven down here. He doesn't counterfeit money. He uses people to bless us. And our jobs, that comes from people, right? Your bosses, your supervisors. I've had some tough ones, but I just always went to prayer and praised God for the people I had. And God dealt with my supervisors, worked out my schedules for me, helped me. So remember, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward. God's long-suffering, waiting for things to happen in our life, for people to get into our lives where God can work us and get us where he needs us to be. Man, and we could all think about hindsight's 2020. I thought about this as a year 2020. Things that we've done in the past that we know, I know I wasn't called to do that, but I did it anyway. You know, we all got some stories. Man, I know I ain't called to be a bricklayer. Back in high school, man, I took bricklaying 101. Because I'm telling Rowan, take some things in school that's going to benefit you, that's in your heart to do. Get electrical. Man, I didn't take no electrical. I took auto mechanics I took bricklaying. I knew I wasn't called to be a mechanic. I wasn't called to be a bricklayer either. Baby Patterson was his name. Went out, and that was the teacher now. He's passed on now. But we went out and laid brick. And I found out real quick, because my dad laid brick. He was a carpenter. I said, this ain't for me, because my back was hurting. And I was 16, 17 years old. But my brick didn't look too good either. It kind of up and down. And I said, this ain't for me. But I had a good teacher, Baby Patterson, and Mr. Hinkins. And he taught kind of like carpentry. I can't remember. Mr. Hemmings. Oh, man. Me and Ronnie Kearnley, we gave him a tough time. But I tell you, I think I was a little bit better carpenter than Ronnie Kearnley was. But I enjoyed those classes. That's why I took them. And I did do some carpentry work, so they kind of helped. So when the Lord speaks, and he does speak, he's always speaking. When he speaks, it will come to pass. But remember, he's not limited to time like we are. So that was the scripture the Lord gave me. This is what I kind of felt in my heart, what the Lord spoke. As we get closer to the rapture of the church, now we understand what the rapture is. Rapture, that word is not found in the Bible. But it talks about it in the New Testament. It's called the snatching away. In other words, Jesus, there's a second. Jesus has came one time. And he gave his life. He became the sacrifice. And he rose from the dead. Jesus is seated in heaven right now. He's praying for us. But there's coming a time he's coming back. The second coming. And that's when he's going to rule and reign here on the earth. And we are too. But before that, the rapture, the snatching of the way, is when Jesus is going to come and take his church before the Antichrist can rise up and run havoc on the earth. The church ain't going to be here through that time. Because just like Jesus, we are the bride of Christ. Would you, Steve, would you let somebody hurt your wife? Be bad to your wife? You think Jesus is going to let all this stuff happen to the church? No, we are the bride of Christ. He's coming. He's going to take us out of here. We're going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And then he's going to give us a white horse and we're coming back. Now, that's a message for another day. But you heard my horse story and I'll tell it later in some other time. But we're all going to be riding horses, whether you like to ride horses or not. Because that, you know, we talked about the Lord reigns. Well, you take some reins on a horse. And that rein, you're supposed to let the horse know where you're going. But if that horse don't like you and he knows you got fear, you don't know how to do it, man, he can throw you off. So it pays to know how to ride a horse. So as we get closer to the rapture of the church, the second coming of the Lord Jesus, the Lord wants us to be alert. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be listening because evil is going to get worse and worse on the earth. We can't pray against that. That's going to happen, but we can be protected from it. Say amen. This is why the Holy Spirit impressed me to have us focus on this year having a clear vision of what Jesus wants to do daily, not just weekly, daily in our lives. As I was praying about the year 2020, and this was back 3 or 4 months before in 2019, with it being a brand new decade, two thoughts came to me. DVR. Like a DVR, digital video recorder, and scales. And y'all ain't with me now. Don't leave yet. Don't walk out to church yet. DVR is a digital video recorder. It saves videos to a hard drive so you can go back and watch it later. On the other hand, you can say it saves visions. It saves those visions so you can go back and watch them at any time without the commercials. Thank God for that. The Lord used that thought and led me to think about how God wants us to see what he has already provided for us. Therefore, the next 3 to 4 weeks, or however long the Lord leads me here, we're going to be talking about DVR, Dreams, Visions, Revelations, acronym. Dreams, Visions, and Revelations. Well, where do the scales come in? Scales balance. I worked in produce for many, many years, and you put the cabbage, you put the lettuce on the scale, and then you know how much money to pay for. So the scale was there to balance. So these dreams and visions, and the Lord wants to give these to us. It was prophesied that in the last days, the scripture talks about in Acts, the last days, my sons and daughters will prophesy. My young men shall see visions. My old men shall dream dreams. This was spoken of that's what Peter preached about. And God wants to do this, show these things to us, to warn us, to protect us, to help us get to our destiny and reach our destination safely and enjoy life, have a good trip, a good journey while we're down here. And sometimes God has to use these dreams and visions because we're so occupied during the day. He's speaking, but our brain's so occupied with what we're doing that our spirit can't pick up on it. Our brain kind of overrides what God's wanting to say. So sometimes we get that deep sleep at night, you'll have a dream. Now, this is where you got to balance it. You got to put those dreams, we got to put these dreams, visions, and revelations on the scales of grace and faith. That's where the scales come in. We got to judge everything by the Word of God. You don't take what I say here today and just go out here and do what the pastor says. You find it in the Word, because I want to say what the Word says, but you got to know that too. You got to know this Word. Amen? Study. Paul told Timothy, study, Timothy, to show yourself approved unto God. See, you're not here to be approved to me. You're here to approve unto God. That when you study, now we teach here. I'm going to be teaching a lot the next month and preaching too. See, preaching is proclaiming. Teaching is explaining. Amen. My teachers did a lot of preaching to me. And some of them did some preaching and some of them didn't do a whole lot of nothing. I didn't know. I had some good teachers. I wasn't a good student, but I'm saying I had some teachers. They weren't even in the room half the time. But I got a passing grade because, you know, you just read it and they give a test, and if you passed it, Hopefully you don't have teachers like that. I'm not going to mention names on that either. Amen. So these dreams, we're going to focus on dreams today. I mentioned a little bit of it last Sunday. But Acts 2:17, I mentioned, this is God. This was prophesied by Joel. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days. Remember when Jesus left this earth, was resurrected, and went to heaven, that's when the last days started. We're in the latter of the last days before he comes again. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Who does that say? Didn't say Jack, Robert Jackson. It says Seth God, but I want to say what God says. I will pour out of my spirit. Remember, God is a spirit. He doesn't have flesh like I have, but he is a spirit, and he has a form, and we were created in his image and in his likeness. That's our spirit was. You know, when you see me, and I'm born again, this is what God looks like. A lot of it. Amen. He don't have glasses, though. He doesn't need them because he's a spirit, man. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He is love. God is love. Love always thinks no evil. Go to 2 Corinthians. You know what love is? It never thinks of itself, never lifts itself up. It always thinks of others first. Pride is not love. Pride is of the flesh, of the senses, and that's one of the biggest attitudes or spirits we have to deal with is pride. What do I want to do? When you come to Jesus, you got to forget. When I say forget, make your focus on what can I do for God? And all the things and desires you have, he'll put his desires in your heart and you'll have a blessed life. He wants you to do good things, great things. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, that's you and me, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Prophesy means to speak good words. In other words, Jesus was prophesied. The Old Testament said a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. That's prophecy, speaking things that have not happened yet. And that was a good thing. Jesus coming was a good thing. He came to seek and save those that were lost. I was lost. That was a thank you, Jesus, for coming for me. If it had been just me, he would have came for me. That's just God, man. He's after and seeking all those that are lost. Now, he loves everybody, but he doesn't waste his time. You know, he's going to go, his spirit, he's moving through people, and he's saying things through people, encouraging people. But there's a lot of people in my life that spoke good to me. I didn't pay attention and went on and did stupid stuff anyway. Amen. Parents, kids, are my kids listening back there? Don't get critical. They're going to do stupid things because it's just the flesh. It's just things, man, temptations. But all you got to do is say, I messed up. One thing, Mama, you know, Mom's not here. If she was here, she'd say, amen, don't you talk about me. But I didn't like to put socks. I didn't like to put my clothes. I'd leave socks in the floor. Mama hated that. Pick them socks up, boy. I just didn't like to put socks in the drawer. I've got a little bit better over that. My wife, if she was here, she'd give a weak amen, but that was just me. I just didn't like. I can wash clothes, dry clothes, but I don't like to separate. Man, when we do socks, it's like there's a trash bag of socks. And Cheryl will come in and she'll just dump them in the living room floor and says, I need some help. And I'm like, I think I heard Jesus say something. I got to go over here. Jesus is calling. Because when it comes to separating, man, when you got four kids, I know I'll separate my socks. I like to wash my clothes because, man, I don't know what. Ruthie's got these little socks. I don't even see how they get them on her feet. They ain't about that big. It looks like a little, I don't know. It's just, I'm like, man, why even buy something? It's a footy, whatever you call it. Anyway, we're talking about dreams. I'm going to talk about a couple in the Old Testament, and then we're going to bring it into the new maybe next week or the week after. Because Reed's got fourth Sunday. Next week's fourth Sunday, right? He's thinking about that. He'll get back to me on that. He keeps me in line. So in the Old Testament, I'm going to try to cover two today. The word dream, and you can check this out. I got a good little Bible app. You can do all these searches. It appears 87 times in the Old Testament and 8 times in the New Testament. Similarly, the word vision appears 86 times in the Old and 17 in the New. So about the same for dreams and visions. So while the notion of divine dreams, now a divine dream is one that God inspires, God breathed. In other words, I've had dreams that they're just stupid. You think about something. I've had dreams to where I've been working on something and I don't know how to fix something. I can have a bad dream that I really blew it. You know, something that just, if it's bad, it's usually not from God. A God-inspired dream is about like prophecy. It's going to encourage, build up, edify. It's going to keep you protected. If you were here when Jim Howard preached, he talked about some dreams that the Lord gave him and the Lord gave his wife that kept him from getting into tragedy, from a wreck. One thing about dreams and visions, you see it, say see it, and then you speak it. If it's from God, and you know, you want to say, you want to share that, you got to give voice to it, and then you act on it. Prophecy, and then you act on it. If you believe, and I'll just quickly give you one that just came back to my mind when me and Sherry were first in the Lord, and we were seeking God, and he would show us things. We were going to the beach, and we went to the beach. Amen, we went down there. And she's got some nieces, and this is when I think Dallas was little. He was playing with trucks. He was just down there, man. We got unpacked. And Dallas is sitting there playing in the living room, just vroom, vroom. He loved cars and trucks. So I'm sitting here just praying, just thanking God for a wonderful week. Man, I'm the driver. I was tired. I'm sitting there watching Dallas play, and all of a sudden I see him go like, boom, crash, you know, hitting cars. And immediately, it wasn't something I thought about. I just knew it. You ever just had something you just know? You've been to a place like, man, I've been here before. Intuition, we would say. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God letting you know. Either something's good or he's trying to keep you from something bad. Pay attention in that situation. And I immediately prayed for one of Sherry's nieces, Tammy. I prayed for Tammy. Well, when we got back home, we found out she was in a car wreck. There was a wreck, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So see, I immediately saw that and God connected that and I just prayed. See, that is what the Holy Spirit will show us things to come before it happens, and somebody needs to pray. So that wasn't even a dream. That was just a knowing. You know, I didn't see it. I just something I knew in my heart, and I just prayed. There's a wreck, and prayed, and just felt like Tammy, and spoke Tammy's name out, and just prayed for protection. I can't tell you the prayer I prayed, but I prayed. I gave God. So you got to give God His word, so He can do something. Amen. Faith speaks on this wise. The just shall live by faith. So in Genesis chapter 20, and y'all bear with me because I'm on. We're going to read the whole chapter 20 of Genesis. Genesis in the Old Testament, first book of the Bible. Chapter 20, this was written by Moses. Now you think about God giving you something and it stays with you. God, when God took Moses up on the mountain for 40 days, you spend 40 days in the presence of God, don't eat, don't drink, just in His glory, you're going to remember something. Amen. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. That's a lot of stuff. But you know why? God put it in him. Say, He put it in him. He. Remember Jim talked about when he prayed that Sunday, he wanted to give you some inspiration and impartation. That's what Jim prayed that he would release. I'm praying that you receive some impartation today. Not from me, but from God. Something that'll go in you, that'll stay in you. And when it needs to come out, it'll come out. Because, man, God's given me things that your tomorrow begins today. Man, He put that in me. He gave me that word. So I'll say it, and I'll say it because your tomorrow begins today. How do you want your tomorrow to look? Start saying it, believing it today. Speak it today, and it'll come to pass. You'll walk in it. So, I got to get there. Genesis chapter 20. One more page over. All right, I'm going to speed read. Abraham and Abimelech. Now, some of these words I might pass over sometimes in the Old Testament. So Abraham, he journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now, Abraham said of Sarah, this is his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, now Abimelech is a king. In other words, I'm painting a picture here. Abraham and Sarah are out here wandering around, journeying, going where God tells them to go, where they come to this place, and Abraham's wife, Sarah, she looks good. She's in her 90s, 80s or 90s, and she is a beautiful woman. And here's a king out here, and back in them days, you know, about like in the old Wild Wild West, the Indians come, they take your family, they take your wives, they take your kids. So here's Abraham and Sarah on this journey, and here comes this king Abimelech out here, and Abraham says, she's my sister, this is my sister. Lying, Abraham lying. And so Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Say, but God. God came to Abimelech. This king came and took Sarah, took Abraham's, he called him his sister. In other words, he's going to take him into her, going to be her caravan. It's going to be my concubine. He pretty much taking her. But God came to this king Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man." Whoa, this is a dream now, buddy. "You are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken. She is not," what'd you say? "For she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me," that he's talking about Abraham, "she is my sister?" And she even said herself, and when she agreed with him, said, "Yeah, I mean, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." This king's pleading to God in this dream. He's having a dream here. Abraham said, "That's my sister. I didn't know it was his wife." And God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me." In other words, God even kept him from wanting to go further in that relationship. And see, he's a God of mercy. "Therefore, I did not let you touch her." God gave him a dream. "Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, man of God. And he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours," your whole family. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all the things in the hearing of the ear, and the men were very much in fear. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "Why have you done this to me and said this? Why have you done this thing? How have I offended you that you have brought on me all the kingdom and this great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not be done." And King Abimelech, he was right in what he was saying. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on the account of my wife." In other words, Abraham said, "This is my sister, take her, and at least they won't kill me. You know, I gave you this great prize." And in other words, Abraham's trying to save his own neck here and gave him his wife. "But indeed, she is truly my sister." He did a half lie. This was his half-sister. But back in them days, they kind of, you know, that was okay to marry as long as it was your half-sister, not mother, mother, father, father. "So she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, 'This is your kindness that you shall do for me. In every place where we go, say of me,'" in other words, Abraham's saying, "Hey, we got this pact here. You say you're my sister and I'm your brother, and we'll be able to survive out here." That was bad. That was bad thinking, right? This is not good thinking, guys. So Abimelech, verse 14, took sheep, oxen, male, female servants, and gave them to Abraham. Now, this is how they made money. This is through livestock. Man, that's money back in them days. If you got herds, if you got stock, you're a prosperous person. So he took all this and gave it to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, back to Abraham. And Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." And Sarah said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody." Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, that they bore children. Check this out. For God had closed all the wombs of his house of Abimelech because of Sarah. Just because he took Sarah from Abraham, God, the curse, see, that's the curse. Remember, Abraham's got God spoke a blessing on Abraham. He said, "I'll bless those that bless you." And God said to Abraham, "I'll curse those that curse you." So him taking his wife was a curse. And that curse followed what God said. All his family, his concubines, their wombs were closed up. They weren't going to be able to have kids. But Abraham prayed for them, and the curse was reversed. You see what happened there? See, God's mercy, he's not against anybody. He's for everybody. But he can't. When God says something, it's settled. And he said, "Abraham, because you, I'm cutting," God cut a covenant with Abraham. You know what a covenant is? It was by blood, man. When you cut a covenant, you mingle blood, and you can't change the covenant. And that's what God did with a blood covenant with Abraham. He said, "I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you." And that was just God's covenant with him. And because there's enemies out there. And hopefully you know, somebody makes a reputation. That's Abraham, man. That's God. Man, he's blessed. Don't mess with him. And people that wouldn't mess with him, they stay blessed. But if you mess with him, you got the curse coming. God looks the same way at his kids today. My kids, my wife, you know, we're to protect them. and somebody comes against them, you know, Jesus said turn the other cheek, but not then. You don't turn your other cheek if somebody's coming to rob or steal or kidnap your kids or your wife. That's when you give them this if you got to. You protect your family. God's going to protect you. You know what I mean? That turning the other cheek is when they come against you because you're doing something good. In other words, they come to Jesus and they said all these things that he was doing, and they mocked him, they ridiculed him. Jesus said, I just turned the other cheek. But when he came against somebody's taking somebody's life, you don't turn the other cheek to the devil. Man, you take, that's wisdom. Amen. You fight to protect your people. That's why we got Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, man. They're fighting for our freedom because the enemy is out there to kill, steal, and destroy. But when somebody's coming against you for righteousness, for the gospel's sake, you're out here preaching and telling people God loves you and they come and spit on your face because you're preaching good news to them, you turn the other cheek to that. But when they're coming after you to harm you, to protect you, man, you defend your territory. Man, we can see that in the animal creation. Don't go mess with a mama bear. She got cubs. That's stupid. How much more would God, a father, protect her kids and her mother protect her kids? God is the same way. We're created in his image and his likeness. We're supposed to hate evil, hate people that do evil. That's why we got laws. We're a land of laws, man. If you don't have laws, man, people just do what they want to do. So anyway, didn't mean to get into all that. Maybe we did. So a couple of notes here in this particular dream. Verse 3, notice that Abimelech was the one who God reproved and not Abraham. God reproved, blessed Abraham, and he was still in the wrong. That's not to say that Abimelech, King Abimelech, was more at fault than Abraham was, but Abraham was the one that had the covenant. The covenant. God had a promise. And he was blessed because of the promise, not because of what he did. Bring this down today. Jesus cut a covenant with God, not with me. That's when Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus didn't ask forgiveness for himself because Jesus never sinned. Jesus looked down here and said, Father, forgive them, the ones that were killing him, because he said, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know I'm the Son of God, but they're going to have an opportunity to know. When you raise me from 3 days, when you raise me from the dead, and my people go out, my disciples go out and testify, man, that's the gospel. That he's not dead, he's alive. Nobody's risen from the dead but Jesus. Nobody ever did it. Now, after his resurrection, those come out of the grave with him. But until then, everybody was in the heart of the earth. The spirit and soul was in the heart of the earth. That's Sheol. So, look at verse 5. It appears that Abimelech had more integrity than Abraham on this issue. Yet Abraham was the one God called Abraham my friend. Called him a friend of God. And established his covenant with Abraham. So Abraham wasn't chosen. This will help you here. Abraham wasn't chosen because he was the best person God could find. He was chosen because Abraham believed God. In other words, I can't believe God called me to preach. I wouldn't have thought years ago, but you called me to stand in front of people. I couldn't even stand up in class and give a book report. And you want me to stand up in people and tell people about a God that they can't see? And a son that said he came to die for the sins of the whole world, and they can't see him either, and tell them to put faith in that. This is what God, this is the gospel. I've never seen Jesus, but I know him. Yeah. That's faith, guys. How do you know? Because he has totally changed my life. He touched me in a supernatural way. That's an experience I've had with him that nobody can take away from me. Even it was asked me, well, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. I hooked this word with the Spirit of God. See, the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And the devil wants the child always, he wants to tell you that you're not. That's when you say, the devil's a liar, right? So if he's speaking to you and telling you, he's just a liar, don't believe it. That's what he's born, man. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer from the beginning. Look at verse 14. Abraham was the one who was wrong in this situation, and yet he came out ahead. Say ahead. I was lost, but now I'm found, and I'm not rewarded by what I do. I'm rewarded by whose I am. If I never gave anything to church, you know what? God still loved me. He would still bless me as much as he could. But everything that we do out of love. And the Bible says if you do anything out of love, you're not even expected to get a reward. Everything you do, you got to do it out of motivation of love. And when God sees that, he can reward that faithfulness. In other words, because he's not going to reward somebody that just comes to church to put in the plate to what? Take it off on my taxes at the end of the year. You're not going to be blessed in that because God's looking at your heart. Now, you still will be, there's a law that works there too, though, guys. That will save you as far as Caesar will bless you. The government, you know, you'll get blessed if you give that. But what about when you get sick and your baby's sick? Is the government going to come and pray for your child? No, Jesus is. You see, that's when we worship God. He takes care of everything. He blesses me in my finances. He blesses me in my body. Do you see the difference? That's why we give to God, because, man can't do to me what Jesus did. Man can't save me. Man can't forgive my sins. Only God can. And he forgave your sins forever. Say forever. So that means you don't go fishing in that pond no more. Don't go back to that pond in that past, right? No trespassing. You've got to put your no trespassing sign up there. Can't fish there no more. Don't live there no more. That's the Old Testament. That's the old man. That's the old life. I don't think we're going to make it through too many of these today. Thank you. That's the preaching. Amen. We've got to do a little bit of preaching, then we've got to stop and do some teaching. Are y'all okay? All right. I don't hear nobody snoring back here on me yet. That's good. Hey, when we was in Mooresville, we had a church, had a dear brother. He worked third shift, and he was the children's ministry. And when you minister with the kids, I don't care. You can sleep in church. You want to come here and be, if the Lord's called you to minister to the kids, you can take a nap if you want to. Because I tell you what, training kids is tough. It's tough, ain't it, ain't it, Mama? I've had the twos and the threes and the fours. Where was I going with that? I done got off base. I better get back. Verse 17, Abraham bore the greater fault, and yet he was God's anointed. And God flowed through him, angel. This stands for all to see that God has never had anyone qualified to do his service yet, except Jesus. But Jesus was a man, but he was fully God. Ain't that awesome? So that qualifies you. That qualifies me. If God's called you, he's appointed you, he's anointed you, you can do it. And that ain't just preaching. I'm talking about whatever God's called you to do in life, you can do it. He's given you the grace to do it. And to do it, good, exceptional. Verse 18, and this is all we're going to cover here on Abraham. We're going to give Abraham a break now. We've been hitting him pretty hard here for these 4 or 5 points. God was the one who caused these wombs to be closed up. But this is where you got to balance grace and faith. This is where you got to balance the Old Testament and New Testament. God is not our problem. Understand this. Listen to this. Remember, God is not in control of you. He's in control of his word. And say it the other way. God is in control of his word, not this world. Come on, listen to this. God is in control of his word. What God has said, he cannot lie. When God gave control of this earth over to Adam, and Adam and Eve lost it and sinned, the devil now became the little god of this world through Adam's authority, not God's authority. It never was God's plan for the devil to rule and reign on this earth through sin, sickness, disease, poverty, murder. None of that was ever God's plan. Amen. This will help you. So see, God is in control of his word, but he's not in control of you. He's given us a free will. That goes all the way back to Adam. Jesus was the same. Jesus was a man that did not have the DNA of an earthly father. He had the DNA of God Almighty, the seed. When that angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you are highly favored. You're going to bear forth a son. Now, Mary had to agree with this. It takes two. We could say, no, I ain't going to say that. It takes two to come together to have children, right? Mary got pregnant of the Holy Ghost when she said, amen. She said, so be it. When the angel declared that, that was all those dreams, all those visions that were spoken of her. She had to choose to be that one. If she would have said no, God wouldn't have forced his will on Mary, but he knew Mary's heart. He knew she would be the virgin that would conceive Jesus. And the word, Jesus, became flesh. He never sinned. He was God, but what he did, he took down all of his divinity, all of his power. This is God Almighty. I can't explain this to you in my mind. I just have to explain what the word says. Jesus became a man and didn't work on this earth as God, but as a man. He put down his deity, all the power that he had. He left it in heaven and came down and went into a body and grew and had to learn this word just like we got to learn it. Jesus did. But then, remember when John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan, in the water? And the Bible says the Spirit of God came down as a bird. Now, the Holy Ghost ain't a bird. He just took a form as a bird and came upon Jesus. And when that happened, Jesus was God, but he operated in this earth as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Jesus did nothing on his own except he had the Father, the Son, and they were all working together. Ain't that awesome? That's the Trinity. That's the gospel kind of in a nutshell. That's why I can lay hands on the sick. I'm not the healer, but I believe Jesus said, those that believe on me, the work, Jesus said this. Jesus said on this earth, he said, the works that I do, talking to his disciples, he said, the works that I do, you can do. How? The Holy Ghost was going to come inside you. The Spirit of God was going to change your spirit and put you back into the image of God. See, sickness, disease, poverty, all that was a curse. It came in through the curse. So now through Jesus, Jesus redeemed us. He took us out of that curse and gave us his name. At the name of Jesus, the devil has to flee. Sickness has to leave. That's why as a minister, not as just a minister, as a believer, when you believe this word, the Bible says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm not the healer. I'm just laying my hands. God is in me and I impart that word to them and I believe for their recovery. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. I'm just doing what he said to do. That's the power. Come on, guys. This is who you are in Christ. If Jesus said it, that settles it, and you can do it. Amen. That settles it. Amen? And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, you're his sheep. You're here. You're going to hear his voice. You're going to know his voice, and he's going to keep you from making wrong choices, and he wants to use dreams, visions, and revelations this year to show us and to keep us and to help us to keep us out of the enemy's camp, the devil from getting there and working in our life. Amen? This is what we're focusing on this year. So, hallelujah. I don't know where I want to go with that. I don't know if I want to jump. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was weighing that Old Testament and the New Testament. Grace versus the law. See, even just think about it, if you don't know anything, if I just walked in here today and I'm a new baby Christian, just being in the world 50-some years, I know new is better than old, right? That's just what we would say, God gave you a brain. Same God that gave you a spirit also gave you a brain. You got to use your brain too. But don't let your mind determine your destiny. Let God determine your destiny. Amen. See, there's a lot of things, a lot of questions. And I still got questions. Don't, you know, and if you got some questions, you can ask me. I don't know if I know them all, but I know who knows them all. If I don't know it, God will send me somebody that knows it, or we get in the book, we'll find it. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. But that's why the just live by faith, man. That's why we grow every day. We're growing more and more with God. When we come to church, man, you're growing. You might not see it yet on the outside, but I can ask any lady in here that's gave birth. When you conceive, you know something's changed. Now, I can't speak as a man. I have to look to the women. Amen, women. You know something has happened. It'll show up later out here. So once when I asked Jesus to come into my life, I got born again. Conception. Jesus came in. I'm still there. He didn't throw me out. He just threw the devil out. Come on. He kicked him out. But it's up to me to keep him out, right? Now, you can lock your door. You can leave your door open. When I was growing up, man, we left windows open, doors unlocked. Because, man, society was a little bit better back then. But it's got worse. I lock my door every now and again. But you know what? I got angels outside, and I know that. But you don't be foolish, too, also, right? You know, if you got a lot of money, man, you just got loads of money, you just set it outside, don't lock it up. Don't do that. Thief find out, they'll come steal it. But you don't tempt God. You understand? You don't tempt the Lord, but you know who you are in Christ. I don't lay down at sleep at night and have fear. I lay down knowing that if Jesus comes back, he's going to get me up out of his bed. Hey, guys, I've had an experience, and I'll share that with you real quick. When I first got born again, and I was hungry, man. I was hungry for this word, and I still am, but I was just devouring it, man. I was eating it. I would go back in the bedroom. I'd lay, and I'd pray, and I'd get so tired. You know, when you read, it's kind of like, you know, that's just the mind. It wants to sleep. And when you hear somebody talk for 45 minutes, I know I've been out there before. You have to fight the eyes, you know, your flesh, you're fighting. Because you're not the one talking, you're listening, and your body wants to go to sleep. But see, even though you're sleeping, I ain't looking at that. See, I'm coming back to that guy that was sleeping in church. He's coming back around here. Because see, your spirit is listening. Your heart, your spirit has ears. Not up here, that you're listening. That's why people that are in coma don't quite understand you. Maybe they can't hear you here. You keep speaking. You tell them you love them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We're going to take care of that. Don't you worry about that. Their spirit is hearing you. Amen? They hear you. And I'm not going to tell the guy's name that he was our church minister. He worked third shift, and he'd be back there. He'd have him a chair by the sound booth. And I'd be in the back because I'm one of the ushers. So I'm, you know, you want to take the back view and kind of keep a check on everything. And he would hit that snoring, but he'd start going. Now, he's a big fella. And, you know, I respect big guys, but I don't want to get them mad at me, even though they're Christian, man. And I tell somebody to sound about, hey, somebody nudge your brother over there. Man, he's getting pretty. Now, pastor was pretty loud preaching, but man, he'd start doing some. He was sawing, buddy. But man, he was at so peace, man. I just knew his heart. He was working hard, but then he was there at church. Man, if you want to sleep, don't sleep at home. Come to church and sleep. At least you're getting something, amen. But he was, he was a blessing. And he'd do anything you ask him to do. He'd take those kids. And I tell you what, Darren Moore's with Pastor Gary Colstead. You didn't leave church. You had church about 3 hours. Now, I give you a break every now and again. But, man, you know, that's just the way he preached, man. You come there, you figure to be there. If you get there, we'd get there at 9 to unlocking things. You ain't leaving until about 1:30, 2 o'clock. All the Baptists have done 8. We go, man, we go out and eat. Sometimes we'd eat together. You didn't have to worry about getting in, man. Everybody else was gone, Larry. I try to get you out by noon, unless God says, hey, keep them. Hey, if God says stay, this is a safe place to be. Amen? So we want to hear what God says, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer than, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. But I try to give you something that he wants you to hear today. Because what you do today is going to end up in your tomorrow. And somebody else's tomorrow. And somebody else's tomorrow. Because see, God sees generation. What you do to your family, you're setting an example for the next. You're setting an example for your neighbors. Neighbors are watching you. People at work's watching you. Amen. I remember Sherry, when we first got saved, she worked at Family Dollar. And it was actually an employee that witnessed to her about the Lord and how much he loved her. And, you know, helped her get to that place where she cried out to God. And I can remember, you know, Sherry working at Family Dollar there for many, many years. That, you know, she said it was tough. You know, she had to spend some time there. God was working. Her place was at home. She wanted to be there with the kids. See, Sherry used to be the money winner. When I say money winner, she was making more, and I was making less, and I was watching more of the kids because she's working, you know, 10, 12 hours, being in management. So, you know, I'm home with the kids more than she is, and I'm like, oh man, changing diapers and praise God. But we wasn't saved, but then we got born again. And God changed the order. There's an order. God is a God of order. Amen. That church should be a church of order. We do things here decently in order. But I found out that I'm supposed to be the head of the house, and I've always been the, yes, ma'am, I do that. Yeah, I do that. I do that. She was the breadwinner, man, but I still, that was before Christ. I ain't going to talk about that. But God put things in order. My job situation changed. She had a desire to come home and be with the kids and teach the kids and not be paying all this child care. You know what? That was a blessing. Then she started teaching them the word, started letting them know about Jesus, how much he loved them, started teaching the word. This is coming back to the United States, teaching prayer coming back in school, Bible coming back in school. I might go teach Mooresville High School. Comes an opportunity, I'll go teach the Bible there, read. Because we got somebody that believes in the word of God in the White House. Amen. Not just one, there's many. But so our roles changed. I'm talking about God's vision of the marriage and of the family has never changed. It's always been good. Adam is the protector. Mama is the one that brings children. She brings life. See, I liked how Jim says it. Dr. Howard, he's my pastor. Men are headlines, people. Baby's born. Okay, baby was born. Women, they're details. Baby Jessica is born. She weighed 2 pounds, 5 ounces. She's going to have a blue dress, a white shirt. You know, all the women are details, man. Men, we just know the headlines. Baby's born. But see, a woman, if you give her something, she'll take it and she'll love it. And she's an incubator. And she'll give life to it. And then she'll bless it. See, men, you know, we're the protector. But a woman, you give her something. Men, you give her a sentence. She'll take it, give life to it, and give you back a paragraph. Women just give life to things. They're details. Men, we just tell you like it is. Real quick, boom, 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 boom. But that's the way God set it up. So how did God work in that situation? He moved me into a position, and Sherry had a desire, and she came home. She started staying with the kids, got the kids raised, got them in school, and then she had a desire. She's a teacher. She teaches the children here. She's teaching the preschool now. But see, she was in management. She was retail. And she was doing it. She's a numbers person. She liked that. She could do that. But that wasn't the desire in her heart. Her desire was a teacher. And her mom always told her, go to school because teachers don't make no money. You need to get an education. Teachers don't make a lot of money, because her mom was in Shepherd's. She was in the cafeteria. But all that time, that dream and that purpose it wasn't God's desire. But how did she find out? Siri thinks I'm talking. I am not talking to you, Siri. I said Sherry, not Siri. I got to change my name. My phone takes commands. Siri and Sherry is pretty close. Hey, God will speak to you through a phone, too. Let me tell you, he'll speak. He'll throw something out there. So I was talking about Sherry, wasn't I? Talking good things. And so God reversed that. He'll put his dreams and visions in your heart. And this year, he wants to show you a more clear vision. And quickly, I'm going to stop there, but I wanted to give you an example. And Rowan, you got to pray about this, because my pastor always told me, my pastor would never point the way. He would always give me direction. In other words, he wouldn't tell me what God's telling me. He would just show me the way. And you got to determine. You got to hear from God. Because I always want to go to my pastor. Pastor, am I called to be a preacher? Am I called to do this? And he would just give me some direction, but he would never tell me, because that's between me and God. What God's called you to do, now I can help you, I can give you the scripture, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God, but then to determine your destiny and your future and all the plans God has for you, you got to seek in the scripture. You got to, when I say the scriptures, put it in your heart, but then you ain't got to stay in the Bible. Just meditate, spend time with God, talk to God, fellowship with him. He's a person. Man, he came and he fellowshiped with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening every day. But he was there 24/7. God didn't just get in their life, you know what I mean, and just bug them. But he was there watching them because he loved them. And what's so neat, guys, I always thought when, you know, kind of being brought up, that if you did something bad, man, God's against you, man. He turned his back on you. Look in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, Adam hid. Adam and Eve, they were hiding. God showed up. He said, Adam, where are you? He came back for his walk. Even though they had sinned, sin separated them from the presence of God, but it never separated God from them. See, God came for his walk. He came for his fellowship. Well, we hid because we're naked, and then God said, well, who told you you're naked? God didn't say nothing about nakedness. God knew the devil had been messing. He knew things were messed up, but God, one thing he told me, always run to him, don't run from him. For many, many years, I ran from the call, from people, from places, and it took me on dark paths. But if you run to the light, you're going to stay out of darkness. Amen. So if you got problems, go to, the Bible says, surround yourself with wise counselor. You know, I've had some people that wasn't wise counselors, and I went to them. When I say wise counselor, in other words, somebody that's hearing God, and you can see it in their life, and you can trust them. You're not supposed to trust everybody. Surround yourself with wise counsel. So through that, God worked that relationship out where Sherry could come home, teach the kids, and then God opened her a place where she could teach more kids at the preschool. And she gets no better reward, and I get no better reward than you come up to me one day and said, man, you know what God did in my life? And it's through that word, through that teaching, that's the fruit I get to hear. And she has all these kids, when they get grown up, they come and they're grown up, and they say, hey, Miss Sherry. And they tell about what they're doing. It makes an impact. You've made an impact on their life. And see, you don't have to, what's God called you to do? Believe this year for dreams and visions and revelations. And I told you guys Sunday that, Lord, he's spoken that. And if you'll open yourself up to it, but balance it, whether that's God or not, come give me a call. I'll help you. You know, God gives gifts. Some people can interpret dreams. Not everybody. It's in the body. But you can interpret that wisdom, that understanding. It's in the Word. The Word interprets itself, God's Word. But as I was praying, I told you guys Sunday about that. I hadn't had a dream from God all week. It was all totally opposite. I was having stupid dreams. You know what? That's the devil. When you do, when God gives you something and you speak about it, the devil's going to try to come and say, that's wrong, that's a lie, that ain't true, and give you all this stupid stuff. Well, I tell you, Thursday, I had my dream. I had my God dream. Everybody in here dream? Is there anybody in here that doesn't dream?
Every once in a while, but not really.
Praise God. You know, I think this is really a good word. Now, I'm talking about for everybody, but I don't think you're just here because you're just here today. My mom, she's 83, and she's talked about she doesn't dream a lot. But I've been encouraging her to dream, ask God for dreams, to see things and know things that He can speak to your heart. Because Thursday, I woke up, I had a dream, and this is it, and I'll share it to you. I haven't told Rowan this, but me and Rowan and Franklin Graham were fishing. I don't know who Franklin Graham is. That's Billy Graham's son. Now, we sew into Franklin to Samaritan's Purse. We're not partners with them, but we do. When they have some needs, a lot of times we'll sew as a church and we'll give. And I woke up. I knew what it was. Now, I don't know if Rowan knows this or not. So this is between him and God. But what is Franklin after, man? He's an evangelist. He's fishing for souls. Yes. He's fishing for people that are lost. Me and Rowan were fishing with Franklin Graham. And I woke up and I'm like, man, that is an honor to know that I'm in the same boat. Got that same vision, that same purpose to help people. Rowan's a part of that, but he's got to pray about that now. Amen? It was just Rowan. Now, I'm not saying the rest of the kids ain't got something to do, but it was me and Rowan in that boat with Franklin, fishing for souls. Amen? So, see, that was a God dream, and I woke up and I prayed about it, and I said, okay. Now I gave voice to that. Lord, thank you for inspiring me. And I prayed for Franklin. I prayed for his ministry. I prayed for Rowan. See, now I've given my voice of faith to it. Now God, now the timing is not mine. That's up to God. If God, and I invited Franklin Graham to Jesse Duplantis and got a letter back from the ministry that he was tied up. He was on that, he was doing a tour, and he couldn't make it. But I didn't reach out to him because Jesse Duplantis got saved here in Billy Graham preached on TV. So that was a big impact in his life. So see how God can work, how he wants to work, how he has worked through dreams, visions. Amen. So pray about that. Because God can show you things your mind can't understand. But then pray about it and it'll be, I know what that is.